Then we'll just have a chat.
Okay.
We'll do a little bit of back and forth and just chat while we warm up until we get to the top of the hour, and
Okay.
then we will get started. Is that
Sounds good.
okay?
Yep, perfect.
All right,
And
so let
Bubbles
me.
is here, ready to go. And you can hear me
Bubbles
fine,
is
right?
ready to go. That's how
I
it
think it's
should
funny
be.
you mention her name and then I see her walking in.
She
I'm just laughing. It's like
knew. She knew.
she knows where Dad is in the morning. She's like, yeah.
All right, so we're live now. So be careful what you say now.
Quiet.
So we're here just warming up with Greg. We'll go live in a minute. Remember everybody, if you have questions, you can send questions. Oh, and we have Bubbles as well. Look at her right there. Very good. And
Okay.
we'll be answering your questions about what does this professional product owner topic really means and what's about. And Greg, by the way, hosts a live daily show on LinkedIn every day since 2019, I just heard.
Yeah, LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook,
You
Twitter
name it.
now. So yeah. Or
Oh,
X, I
wow.
should say. Right?
That, wait. So you're like a full paid member of X then?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so you can stream live even if you're not paying.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's handy.
If anybody wants to know how to do it, just send me a message. I'm happy to share how I do it.
Yeah, Greg's got a lot of experience with this. He even taught me a few tricks way back when we did a live session where I showed up in one of his episodes.
Yeah, we got to do another one where we do shows.
Absolutely,
Maybe we'll
absolutely.
talk about on your PO program when the day you do your product. I listen to you every day, by the way.
Oh wow, that's good to hear.
That's when
I
Walk
hope
and
you
Jerry.
get a lot of ideas
Oh
as
yeah.
you listen to the episodes. I do, even I'm interviewing, I do get a lot of ideas from those shows, so.
It's funny you say that. Someone asked me that just yesterday. I was interviewing someone for the show. They asked me, why do you do this? It says, I learned so much from people talking to the people as doing the episode. You know, it's like, and I listen to it again because I want to, because you're in the interview and it's good to hear what they have to say and listen to it again. So. And I wore a tie. Make sure everybody knows we're talking professional. So I had to dress
That
the
that's
part,
it. I
you know.
think that's a good that's a good addition to the whole picture of the professional product, and we'll be talking more about that, of course, and what it means. And of course, Greg's saying that he's wearing a tie because he usually does not wear a tie on his daily show.
No, I don't usually wear a tie.
How
I
about
don't even know if I can wear a tie in the office anymore. I don't know.
Do you have an office? That could be a question we could ask.
No, I don't. Well, no. I go visit companies and I coach them on a part-time basis.
How about Bubbles? Does she have a tie on?
Does she have a tie? Let's see what Bubbles. What do you got, Bubbles? Bubbles just has herself. Just spots.
Ah, that's very good. She
She just
looks
has
so
spots
cute.
and a tail. I guess her tail is the tie.
Yeah, that could be. That could be. That could be. She looks very cute.
Yeah,
Well done,
she's
Bubbles. Bubbles is usually asleep when Greg goes live on his daily live show,
Yeah,
but
she comes to greet me when I start it.
today she's awake. We are so lucky to have Bubbles with us, of course. All right, we'll be starting in a few minutes. Remember everybody that you can send us your questions here on YouTube. So just use the chat box to the right of the video if you're on the website. If you're on mobile, there's a chat bubble. Just touch the video and click the chat bubble, and you can send us the questions. We'll be answering your questions as well as discussing the topic of what it means to be a professional product owner. I guess we are ready to go, Greg. Are you ready? Okay, well then let's officially start. Welcome, Agile friends. My name is Vasco Duarte, and I'm here hosting this Product Owner Summit with Greg Mester. Hey, Greg,
How are you,
welcome to the
Vasco? How are
summit.
you doing? Good to
All
be
good.
here.
All... It's a pleasure to have you. So Greg hosts his own live show on, I just heard, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. So you can follow him in all of those platforms. We'll put the link to those
And
in the
podcasts, just
video.
like you do. I have pod. It's on
And a podcast.
every podcast platform out there. It's out there.
There you go. There you go. Greg is also a transformational leader, bridging the gap between complex ideas and actionable solutions, and helping drive teams towards success in agile environments. You can reach him on LinkedIn, of course. The link is in the video description. Before we get started with the conversation on the professional product owner, I do want to talk about the Product Owner Summit, which has a lot of talks about the product owner role. For example, Dave West just had a keynote yesterday about the future of the product owner role. Dave West is someone we should listen to when it comes to this, because of course he's the CEO and product owner for Scrum.org. So definitely check that and other sessions out at productownersummit.org. But now we'll talk about what it means to be a professional product owner. So Greg, to kick things off, could you share with us why did you start talking about and advocating the professionalism of the product owner role?
I think it started as I'm an engineer by trade. If you can call my old trade, my new trade is agile, right? If you want to call it that way. But the whole time looking, people want to be respected and be up there. You have to participate, right? And I thought a lot of product owner role was, let me just create a couple user stories, put them up in a box, and then you think that gets you promoted. It doesn't, you know? So what would be the professional? How do you learn quicker, faster? You learn quicker, you know, going out there, sharing, learning constantly. You know, I interviewed so many people that want to be product owners as a agile coach consultant, and I would ask them, what was the last thing you learned? And if they came up with nothing, I'm like, but you're not like in the professional realm. I can just, you're just a plug and play character. You know what I mean? And you put your career at risk when you don't think about that professional side of it.
And when you think about that, of course, this learning aspect is about wanting to grow, right?
Yeah.
What else do you think defines being a professional product owner?
Well, I could jump right into that if you want. My thought is the knowledge of your product, right? A product knowledge and expert in that field or whatever. Business understanding. Do you understand businesses? Are you just creating something that's not making money for the companies, right? Mentoring. Are you a mentor? Are you putting yourself out there as a mentor to other product owners or BAs or technical people or scrum masters that may want to become a product owner? Are you sharing? Like, are you going on things like this, right? You become more professional because once you start stating your thoughts in public, they are a professional stance. If you think about it that way, if you keep them to yourself, you're not in the professional realm. And then volunteering, you know. The more established you become, the more what that looks like from a professional standpoint. And as well as getting certification. I mean, that goes back to, I mean, we can talk about a certain organization and getting the PMP, or my case, I got an EIT when I was in my 20s, engineering and training. You know, I'm not talking about if I say something, I can be liable, right? And a professional engineer, that's why I didn't become a professional engineer. If you gave advice from an engineering point of view and it broke, you're going to court. So we're not talking that level of professional where you are now a litigant in court, but your mannerism, your respectability, how people see you in the office and around.
I really like the aspect of considering the product, the business, and so on, but also the community, right? Because I think
Yes.
that's a, at least in my experience, of course, I am biased here because I've been an active community participant in the Agile community since 2004. So, you know, everybody take this with a grain of salt, obviously. But I do agree that being an active part of your community of professionals is a critical aspect of growing and also becoming a professional in that job. When you think about product owners, and let's keep the certification topic for a second, but when you think about product owners, what are the communities you think they should be aware of and maybe, you know, pay attention to and eventually even participate or volunteer?
Well, definitely a product owner summit. What you do here, right?
Thank you. Thank you.
But definitely, you know, the Scrum Alliance, the Scrum.org, Agile Alliance, just from that world, you can even talk Safe if you're a product owner in the Safe realm. Those major, and then there's other, you know, I can name them all. But being active in what's going on, what's, because they're bringing that activity. But also, you know, from a professional standpoint, what about your trades that your company is going to? Trade shows, you know? You should be a member of those trade organizations that your company you're being product owner for are in, right? So it's not just the technical, agile profession, but you should be out there looking at what other companies are providing. You got to be that competitive edge. You think it's the sales and marketing, but it's also you as a product owner. How are you the competitive edge, your teams, compared to other companies out there that do what they do, right?
I think you bring a very interesting topic, which is how am I contributing to my team and my company succeeding outside, right? Like that's a great question, and one we would expect professional product owners to bring with them. Kirsi asks on the chat, and I know this is a little bit of a provocation, so be aware of it. Well, but a good question anyway. Is certification really necessary? What's your thought on that, Greg?
Okay. I'm talking about that next 2 weeks from now on my show. I was reading the Scrum Alliance and Business Agility Institute report. It was an interesting question. If you read down, you got to read into the details. There was one chart where it says people who had it, who are in the field, think they didn't need a cert. Like the biggest number, 25%, big number, didn't think it was very valuable. But the people hiring you do. Over 80% of the people hiring you think a certification is important. So you pick your poison. I had debates all the time because I had my certs. I'm used to certs as, again, a professional engineer. You go to classes, you get certified. You know, my mental being was that. So I already had that programming. They would all, I don't need a cert. They have more certs now than anybody else. So they came out, and this was back in 6-8 years ago. I don't need a cert. I don't need a cert. I look at their LinkedIn profile now. They all have certs. So yes, you can say that, but if you want a job, you want to get hired, you know, if I put the PE on my name as a professional engineer, that is a high ranking capability, you know, thing. And the same thing, what I think with a PO, any one of the acronyms, or even like Scrum, whatever, I think it gives you, I did my work, you know, some other board or some group or organization agreed that you satisfied the basic need.
So I think the question is great, and I agree with you, and especially when it comes to hiring, there's a lot of people who will look at the list of certificates, and you can definitely see that in many LinkedIn profiles that certificates are still very important.
Don't forget about AI, though. Now AI is looking at all those resumes, and they don't find those initials, you're bounced.
That, absolutely, especially if you're sending an open application to a job. What I was thinking about certification specifically is that I don't know if you agree with this, but I would think that a professional product owner would then also be very careful and mindful about which certifications they would try to complete, right? Because there are good certifications and there are certifications that are let's say, sold in boxes of cereals. There are many of those as well, right? So I would look at, you know, just like when people choose universities, they will choose certain universities more than others.
Right.
It is fair for us as professional product owners to think, okay, which organization best embodies what I believe are great product ownership qualities and of course, skills and knowledge, right? So I would say that because of what you just said, if you're applying to a product owner job at some other company, you definitely need a certificate just to get through the door, But then you need to consider which organization would you get the certificate from. I would not get a product owner certificate from Scaled Agile, for example, because I don't think that they embody what a great product owner should be, right? I would maybe choose Scrum Alliance or Scrum.org, because I do believe that they take Scrum seriously and they don't just use Scrum to prop up some other framework, and therefore also would have much more emphasis on the quality of their teaching and training. But I would even go further. I would be very picky about the trainer, right? The person who delivers the certificate. I would be very picky about who I would choose to be my trainer, because I believe I'm there to learn, right? I'm not there just to get a certificate.
Let me phase this for you. When you're first looking out, it's the difference between being in the professional world, been there a few years versus just starting. I don't have a problem with anybody taking a more inexpensive product owner class or certificate to learn what it's like to be a product owner. Put your feet in the water, spend a couple hundred bucks, and you get your training, right? As you mature, you should look for those more established organizations and get the certification. And I'm actually taking some of these classes more than once. There's no rule that says you only take the CSM once or the CSPO once. I have taken it with one, but then as I go and I look for the people that have been seasoned, that have presented at the Product Owner Summit, that have presented at gatherings and things like that. And I look for their classes and I'll take how they teaching it. What are they bringing to the table from all their lectures and all the companies that they've coached or trained with, right? So you mature over time and you look for that. I took a certification the other, not last year. I looked for people that were fellows of the organization. I didn't just take a course anywhere. I look for people that were established, volunteered, led the organization. You know what? I'm going to spend the extra dollars now that I'm in my career, making the money I'm making, to find out what the people that have been doing it for so long. Does that make sense? Okay.
Absolutely. I think that the idea, at least in my mind, behind this aspect of the conversation is that ultimately we are responsible for the quality of our education.
I'm a little bit different. I paid pretty much for every training class I've ever taken. Sometimes the company would pay for it, more their own internal tweak to what it is. But all my certs, everything I got, it's mine. And as a professional, you put your name on it. Use your own email. Don't use your corporate email. You own that certification. That's yours for the rest of your life, right? And you got to treat it as yours and not, oh, it's the company doing it. Oh, the company. If your attitude is, oh, the company wants me to do it, then you're not a professional. Is that.
So, paint us a picture of what a day in the life of a professional product owner looks like now that we've tackled the minefield of certification.
So I don't know if I want to go into the what in a company. Like you can, there's all these, what's in the day of life as a product owner inside a company? And that can be a whole show on itself. Let's talk about the professional side. The professional side is listening to podcasts on product ownership. Like me, when walking the dog, I don't have Jerry here, but I'll walk the dog in the morning. I'm listening to those podcasts about my professional, not just what's the latest Mr. Beast commercial. I'm not doing that, right? So listening to professional broadcasts, taking in, signing up for a conference. When I used to mentor people when I worked for the government, and even not from the government and outside, I would have my junior engineers, junior logisticians, and junior people come to conferences with me, right? And then I go, oh, by the so you got to attend conferences. Pick a conference every year. You should go to a conference, pay the money, go attend. I went to helicopter conferences when I built helicopters. My company didn't pay for it. The government didn't pay for it. I went, right? I met the different companies. I had them actually said, oh, by the way, you went to the conference this year? next year you're presenting. They all look at me like, what? I said, yes, I want you to develop a paper to present at the next conference. And they were all, at the time, I'm like a coach. You hate me when I'm your coach, but you love me 20 years later when you're now an executive VP or manager or your director. They all come back to me, Greg, I didn't understand what you were doing, but I am so thankful you made me do that. You know, so in the day in the prep, you're listening to it, you're picking out conferences, you're going and you're mentoring people, you're offering services to other juniors, you're organizing inside your company, you know, a product owner discussion group, whatever that would be. That's elevating you to the more professional level and volunteering, like helping people out, you know, like the summit. Volunteer to host. I know I helped host some of your Agile Summit stuff. It's a lot of work. And I've actually reviewed proposals for the Agile Alliance. I've done that work. You get no credit for it. It's a lot of work. But you doing that is part of that professionalism, you know?
Yeah, building up the knowledge within the community, right? Like getting, helping others share their knowledge, maybe yeah. coaching, if you're already a speaker, maybe coaching others to become speakers and share more of that knowledge. And I think that what you're sharing also describes a big difference between what would be a just product owner, so quote unquote, just a product owner, and a professional product owner, which is this aspect of understanding that the role we play as product owners goes beyond the day-to-day at the company, right? We are not just writing user stories. And
I think it goes beyond just taking a test to pass that you have the knowledge, right? I don't think that's part of being a professional. I think it's the constant interaction with other professionals. Beyond just, hey, I passed the test. It shows that I have the knowledge of what the Scrum Guide says, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you think about professional product owners taking on what you just said, of course, the Scrum Guide isn't enough anymore because the Scrum Guide sets down what we could call the rules of the game, the mm-hmm. Scrum game, but it doesn't tell you how to be a great product owner or, you know, a professional yeah. product owner as Greg is defining here with us. So what do you think are the critical elements that high level documents like the Scrum Guide overlook or completely miss, but are anyway essential for product owners to succeed in their roles?
Guides like that show a snapshot in time at the end of all the work you did to build that up. So this is what you delivered. This is the product. Doesn't talk about how you build the product, right? Doesn't tell you all the work you do meeting with all the stakeholders and how do you organize that. It doesn't tell you how to do that, right? It just shows what you're expected to share with the team, really, right? So I think it misses a lot of that activities. I call them circles where you're going to different groups. You are the front end. You know, even though they say Scrum Masters, but really a product owner is an ambassador for your team. Your team lives or dies about your ability to bring work to the team, right? And you have to understand that. And also the team depends on you not to make them look bad. Like, don't promise the world out there this giant backlog. It doesn't tell you how big the backlog should be, right? Or what to put in there. It doesn't tell you to look at, you know, you can say velocity, how you want to measure, whatever the team's capability is. It doesn't really, maybe I'm wrong, maybe someone can clarify, but I don't think it tells you, figure out how much work the team can do before you go telling everyone out there, oh yeah, my team can do that, when you know they don't have the capacity to do that much in a 2-week sprint or whatever your sprint time box is, you know? So there's stuff in there that doesn't tell you. Understand what your team's capable of before you go tell on the stakeholders and as you prioritize and do that communication loop back. We always talk about the community. Your job as product owners, communicate back to all the stakeholders constantly. It does mention a little line in there about transparency. Well, how do you establish that transparency, right? So that those people don't try to ask questions, a million questions of your team, right? Now you're on mute.
And yeah, thank you for that. So, and I think that this aspect of working with the team is really important, because it's not just that there is a team, but there's an the level of collaboration, how you help each other, the aspect of inspiring others to deliver on what is your vision, but you're not the one delivering that vision, mm-hmm. right? Like all of those aspects are quite critical. And those are, you know, one could call them soft skills or people yeah. skills, but they are definitely not process specific.
Can I add for one a professional, more thing on that? On that go point? So many product owners, and I would say scrum masters and scrum people, and I'm just talking about scrum, but it's with anything, think your backlog is pure product. I personally disagree. This might be controversial, what I'm about to say. I think it also involves the training, improvement of the team, the growth of the team. And by you not understanding that, you're not building a backlog that helps them, allows them to grow too. They should have stories in there for their growth. Why should you be and understand automation? Why should you understand, you know, AWS or cloud or whatever? You know, there should be stories in there for that technical growth. As from a product owner standpoint, yes, you're a product owner, but you're prioritizing that backlog. You got to give them the space to grow.
And actually, that is a great point, and one that I would say even the Scrum Guide has already referred to many, many years ago. We already talked about this concept that the goal of using Scrum is to deliver two things. One is the product itself, right? The thing mm-hmm. we are working on. But then the second thing is a team that can continuously and for a long time sustainably continue to deliver that product, right? And this, the team as a deliverable of Scrum is something that is very often missed. And we yeah. focus only on software, and we forget that it's not software that we're delivering. It's software plus all the processes, the group dynamics, the relationships between the team and other teams around. And that's why I think that your point about the backlog, including aspects of growing the team, is very important.
Yeah. One quick point. You brought up a brain thing. As a program manager, when it was hundreds of millions of dollar contract, million, tens of million dollars contracts, I had project managers working for me. I had some project managers. I just had this project, and here it is. I'm like, no, look at the big picture. As soon as you finish that project, I want 1,000 of them. I want to produce 1,000 whatever I was building, aircraft, tanks, ships, whatever. Yes, you have your project, but as a program manager, think as a product owner, what's next? Where is this going? How is this the bigger picture, right? And be careful you're not looking at just that little sprint backlog, that little product that we're delivering. But what is the bigger picture? I would leverage product on top of product. Yes, I'm introducing this product, which opens the door to these 10 other products that could come down the line. Think of them as stepping stones and growing on top of it like a pyramid. Not just supporting that one product you have, but how do you grow the portfolio of the company, right? And the team.
Absolutely. Talking about bigger picture, Chris asks on the chat, do you know large companies also in Europe that have real product owners, he underlines real, also doing, I guess is what he meant, their own product discovery? And if yes, what kind of professional education do they have? So are there companies that you've been in contact with that have the product owner, so not somebody else, mm-hmm. but the product owners also doing the discovery work?
Yes, to a degree, right? I don't think I've seen the ones that do it are more marketing and sales trained, okay? They're used to doing the market analysis, the customer analysis, to sit in the focus groups. So they have that mentality. The ones that necessarily come from a technical background probably don't understand the focus group side. So they need to train more on how to do focus groups, how to do the market, you know, that area of getting all that touch points outside in the bigger world. I will say, in the bigger company, as one of the examples that came to my mind, I had a product owner, and I had debating with a lead system engineer, and they were like, oh, yeah, this, that. I said, don't you think the product owner, he's like, the product owner approved the story, approved the backlog, said it was good. The product owner never used the software that they approved the story for. And I'm like, this is why you shouldn't be running your software. When you do your sprint reviews, the product owner should be operating the software. If you're operating the software as a dev team or anything like that, you're doing it wrong. Okay? You want them to do it. You want the stakeholders to do it. I'm really big pushing, you know, the stakeholders to operate the software, and you as a team just sit there and watch, you know, on mute, whatever, and pick up all the little things that are going on. If they have a problem, let it be, you know. So that's where I see that aspect of that job. And they've been burnt so many times. Well, it was burnt. They approved it. He didn't even know they actually ran and used your software. Whose fault is that? You know?
So that's actually a good point. And you talked about also stakeholders using the software, not just the product owner, which I think is an important point. Coming back to the discovery, I would say that we should not underestimate the amount of work, effort, you know, thinking and so on that goes into the discovery part of the work.
Yeah.
But as I was talking with Roman Pichler earlier today, that session is also on YouTube for those who haven't seen it yet. It's important to realize that discovery and delivery need to go hand in hand. They need to happen in parallel, right? Like discovery is not something that happens, you know, 3 months ago and then delivery 3 months later. That's not how it happens. We need to be doing this on a feedback-driven way, right? Mm-hmm. That's the core of Agile, feedback-driven. So it's also important to realize that if that product owner isn't doing discovery, then what will likely happen is that somebody does discovery, you know, let's say January, February, mm-hmm. and then a requirements document is collected, given out to an IT team, which has a product owner whose job is now to just translate requirements into user stories. That's not very motivating. Also, it hides a lot of information because yeah. the interaction with the customer is what gives us the feedback that we need to understand the problem and how the solution could work.
I would also say to help support the product owner, the team should help with that discovery process. If you're waiting to a sprint review to share what you've developed with your product owner, you're doing the product owner a disservice. It's very hard to do that discovery process. They should take those little pieces that you got, even in a rough form, and have a rapport with their stakeholders and say, here's where we're going. Are we going on the right path? You know, let me get that, like you said, that continuous discovery process on that. And also just product owners, we said, should be out there with their stakeholders a majority of their time, right? They should be out there discovering how do they do their job. What's the I mean, this is where the BA role, the original BA role that I grew up with does. Process. What are the types? What are they looking for? How long are they on it? How many issues do they do? How many transactions do they make? You know, that's that BA side of the product ownership. You should be understanding your customer day-to-day operation. What are they seeing? How are they interacting with the, you know, those are the kind of things. They do 1,000 transactions a day. What does that equate to? You know, but that they should always be out there as well as on the team. What do you do as your job as a test engineer? What do you do your job as a developer? What's the new tech? What's coming up? You know, that's the discovery process.
Moving on from discovery, I think that one aspect we haven't touched yet that would be useful. I mean, we talked about certification, but certification is kind of the tip of the iceberg of something much bigger, which is like a training path, right? Like our learning journey. In your mind, Greg, how would an ideal training path for a professional product owner look like? What would be some key milestones? And of course, also certifications that you think product owners should aim for.
I think it's kind of like an MBA. where you know everything about the company. So in an MBA, they train you in every facet of a corporation. So part of the training mechanism for PO, they should know how every, kind of like the old system engineering learned when I was in the government. The system, the organization is a system. So part of your training should be systems training. Not systems engineering, but I mean, not like how does the computer operate? Not that system, but the system, the organism of a company. So there should be some broad training. And then specifically, I really want them to use the product that they have. And really, I think these people sell products, but they never use it. I really worry about offshoring. I'm like, how does a development team that's offshore know what someone onshore, wherever you are in the country, like if I build a product for Europe or Europe build a product for US or India or Asia or whatever, they have a different customer base. You may think it works, but if you're not a user of that product, how do you really know? You're like, oh, I tried that. I didn't understand what it was doing. You're a business investor. Are you investing money? If you're not investing money, don't go into the finance world. If you're not investing in banks and doing all the your money on the side, putting your little money away for your own budget and your own peace of mind later, then should you be in the banking industry? If you're doing automobiles, but yet you haven't bought a car in 20 years, like me maybe, should you be in the automobile industry, right? Those are the kind of things that you need to look at it. So it's practical knowledge of doing it, knowing how the organization works, and then specific into your niche.
Yeah, absolutely. I would also add to that this aspect that we just touched, which is the discovery aspect. There's a lot of work and great books out there and also videos and podcasts and so on about what it means to be doing that kind of work, right? Like the discovery, understanding customers, mm-hmm. understanding their needs, understanding what problems they struggle with, things like jobs to be done, framework, customer research, user interviews. Not all questions are good questions for a user interview, for example, all of that. There's so much knowledge in the community around doing that kind of work. And I think that it's really important when we think about our training path to think about, okay, so what are the key questions that I need to know how to answer? Not the answer to, but how to answer. What are the practices, the techniques, the processes I use in order to answer those questions? And then, of course, go out and practice that. And if I would add to the certification point that we just talked about a minute ago, many product owner certifications will not touch on these topics because they are considered to be outside, quote unquote, the software product development world, but they are very important. Things like, for example, jobs to be done framework. There's other certifications that cover that. But you know, if you go to a CSPO or Certified Scrum Product Owner by Scrum Alliance, then you're not gonna necessarily, some trainers might bring those topics as a high level topic, but mm-hmm. you're not gonna necessarily learn about user interviews, user research, usability testing, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I said the marketing aspect. There's classes in marketing that teach that skill set on how to ask questions, how to do the marketing, how to do a marketing survey. You're not good. If you haven't done that, I would advise, because they're the experts at it. They do it all the time, right? So why don't you go to the expert in that field and get that skill set, that certification? And in fact, it'll help you on your career, by the way, that you are diversified in another area besides just IT, right? CSPO or Scrum professional Scrum master or professional product owner, and it's like IT. Nobody outside the IT realm knows what those certs are. They don't know. Business people don't know what that means, right? So you have to be in their world as well. And just one thing on what you said about that, I was listening to one of the previous, and I forgot who was saying, they were talking about AI and programming and prompting. And you said that, how do you ask questions? And I was like, hey, it's basic 101. They were saying you have to be careful how you prompt the AI. Same thing was going customer surveys and focus groups. Or if you're a lawyer, like they say, you can indict anybody. If you prompt them right, you'll get whatever outcome you want. But is that the right response that you need from the focus group? I can say, yeah, isn't that great? And then, oh, yeah, that's great. But is it really? Just because I think it's right. So you have to understand how to do those prompts, not just AI, but how do you prompt your focus groups? There's a skill in there.
That's one thing that I'm optimistic about, is that AI will teach us how to ask questions from each other, and we will all become better humans. At least I hope so.
I teach elementary school kids and junior and technology, and we talked about AI, and I said, you know, how you talk in Instagram and all these social medias is what AI is going to learn from us on our attitude. So if you're disrespectful, unprofessional to your classmates, in 20 years, AI is going to think that's how you want to be treated, because you're going to be programming that AI for 20 years and how to be disrespectful. Trust me on that. It was a really good conversation. We're teaching it. You have to be professional. This is where that professional level is. Treat everyone nicely, right?
So if you could recommend a resource, could be a video, a blog, a podcast, a book about this idea, developing our own perspective on what being a professional product owner is, what would that be, Greg?
I'm going to give you two. Well, I'm going to give you two that would. One, I like The Sprint by Jake Knapp. That is a classic focus group book. How in a very short period of time do you get customer information and translate it into a product that the team builds. Beautiful, nice. You could read that in a weekend. It doesn't take long. It's a short book. But also, Dale Carnegie's Win Friends and Influence People. If you have not read that book, you should not be in the product owner game, right? Because your whole job is to win friends and influence people. It's what you do as a product owner. So if you haven't read that book and learn those business techniques, I recommend highly you do that if you want to be a professional, because that comes off that professional. When you have that attitude that Dale Carnegie teaches, people look at you as a professional. You know, your mannerisms, your attitude, your conduct displays whether they respect you as a professional, right? So those are the two books. They're kind of off the beaten path of the Agile world, but there was also another book in the keynote speaker that you referenced, and I forgot the right name of the book. I'm actually going to buy it. It was really good about being a professional product owner. One of the first keynote speaker with the product owner for Scrum.org. Dave West. And you reference in the video, you put a little link to the book that he referenced. I'm going to buy the book. I actually had it on Amazon. I didn't buy it yet, but I had it, looked it up and said, oh, I'm going to get that book. So
that's why we ask people for recommendations, so that we get more people to read about being professional product owners and not just, of course. Greg, if people want to know more about you and the work that you're doing, where should they go?
I don't know. Where should you go? Bubbles. Bubbles over here moving around.
Oh, now. Bubbles.
Bubbles. We haven't shown Bubbles. Bubbles. So just look for the cat or the cat tail.
Hi, Bubbles.
At 5 a.m. Master Scrum, you type in any social media, I should pop up. Look for me on LinkedIn. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Message me there. I have a newsletter and all that. Get stuff out there. Just send me a note. Like you, I use Slack for people to get a hold of me outside of LinkedIn. So if you join my Slack group, you got a question, you can just Slack me on it. I think it's better than LinkedIn, because when you get up to, I got like 14,000 connections. When you start getting more and more connections, it's hard to filter that out. And you got a lot, and everybody knows you get a lot of promotional stuff too. So,
yeah, that is absolutely true.
Yeah, just look for Greg Mester on LinkedIn. If you see, there's another one. Look for the Agile Cheerleader. That would be me.
And we'll put the link below the video on the video description. So make sure you check those out. And what's one parting word of advice that you have for those of us who are, you know, attending this session and are considering really taking it up seriously and becoming professional product owners?
Okay. This is my team norm. I'm trying to coach on my teams. Learn to forgive yourself for making mistakes. Learn to forgive others for making mistakes. Forgiveness is the key to being a product owner and being respected by all sides. Because if you take it personal and you trash them, you know, you get unprofessional, it's gonna go that direction. So think about forgiving, work on your forgiveness. It's so critical and agile, because we things don't work. We try things out. The whole idea, okay, yeah, that didn't work. All right, let's move on to the next one. Did we learn anything? Let's learn something from it and what's built off of that, right? So I would say that would be the key, is forgiving yourself. You're not going to get everything done you wanted to. It's not.
Yeah, in fact,
happen.
if we do it faster and we forgive more, we get more done as well, right? We don't get stuck with trying
to
make
everything
professional.
You don't worry about the past. Part of that is not stressing over the past, moving to the future, right? You forgive and forget, right? And you move on. I think that's the key.
Absolutely. Greg, it's been a pleasure to have you here on the Product Owner Summit. Everybody follow Greg at 5 a.m. Master Scrum. He's on all of the social media platforms and also on your favorite podcast application. Greg, thank you very much for your generosity with your time and your knowledge.
Yeah, thank you. It was great being here.
All right. You're done. All right.